Hopeless case.
Welcome to Hope is Alive. Yes, hope is alive in our Lord Jesus Christ. Why? Because he said so. Jesus said in Luke, and he said unto them, I beheld Satan falling as lightning from heaven. Behold, I have given you authority to tread upon serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall in any wise hurt you. Nevertheless, in this rejoice not that the spirits are subject to you, but rejoice that your names are written in heaven. Did you hear that? The spirits are subject to you, and you've been given all power over them. Now in Matthew 10, he was speaking to his disciples, and he said, as you go, preach, saying, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Heal the sick, raise the dead, cleanse the lepers, cast out demons. Freely received, freely give. And then in Mark, he said unto them, go ye into all the world, and preach the gospel to the whole creation. And he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that disbelieveth shall be condemned. And these signs shall accompany them that believe. In my name shall they cast out demons. They shall speak with new tongues. They shall take up serpents. And if they drink any deadly thing, it shall in no wise hurt them. They shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover. Join us as we celebrate these verses given to us in God's holy word. Tonight we have a live interview with Mr. Everett Cox of Deliverance Ministries in Oklahoma City. We'll hear some more of his story and give you a chance to call in and ask questions concerning deliverance and setting the captives free. If you have a question about the issue of demons or evil spirits, then this is the time to call and ask. Join us because hope is alive in our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ.
Good evening and welcome to Hope is Alive. Good evening, Brother Ralph.
Good evening, Brother.
And Happy New Year. Happy New Calendar Year to you. And good evening, Pastor Cox.
Good evening, Brother. Welcome again to the show and the excitement in Jesus. Blessings from Oklahoma.
Amen. Amen. And glad to be here. I know we got a couple callers, and so I'll keep an eye out for the phones and let you know when they call in, and looking forward to a good broadcast.
Thank you, sir. Appreciate it. And we do welcome everyone to join us tonight on Hope is Alive. We are glad to be back. We took a couple weeks off for the holiday season, but here we are ready to give out testimonies, tell people about deliverance, and hopefully help people out. If you have any questions about deliverance, you can go to deliveranceusa.com, the website with a wealth of information, wealth of knowledge, wealth of training, wealth of tools there. Or you can get the book written by Pastor Cox, Doing the Supernatural Works of Jesus. You can obtain that by calling Richard at the office at 307-742-7582. Let him know you need that book, and he'll definitely get it out to you. And, Pastor, here we are, the start of the 2020 New Year, and raring to hear how this Monday went.
Well, AM, and excited. Here we are, 2020, going forward. Hallelujah. Well, we had 16 cases to start the year off, Brother Ralph, and had a minister preach, so that was a great start. I ministered to a man that was able to get the head demon up, which was lust, and it has a number of spirits underneath it, and the usual lie program it was telling him, and was able to get his God-given gifts. As I wrote those down for him as well. But that was a good session. And then I've got one tomorrow at the office, a young man that's, and it's so common, he's bound up with alcohol and with marijuana. So we're going to believe that's going to be 100% effective. We've seen many set free from drugs and alcohol through the years, and I understand it was his dad that called, but of course I always make sure the person is really wanting to change. You know, a lot of times parents will bring people and all. They don't really want to change. He said he's desperate. He knows there's demons bothering him. His dad had given him my book and other books. He was in jail even for a while. And so he's ready, he says. So that's all it takes. I told his dad that ones that we do the best with are the ones that are desperate. And he does sound like he fits that category.
Well, praise the Lord. That's awesome. You know, with the talking about the head demon and how you can go into the storehouses and their God-given gifts, I came across a quote today that reminded me of that, and I want to read the quote. It says, "The devil wouldn't be attacking you so hard if there wasn't something valuable inside of you. Thieves don't break into an empty house."
That's so good. That's so true.
And they hit the nail right on the head with their assignments against us. So many people still, unfortunately, believe that once you become a Christian, then all your problems are over. And that's not always the case. It's definitely a good start, right direction. Certainly, if you are a Christian, you believe that Jesus Christ is Lord and Savior, you repented of your sins, washed in the blood, baptized, and you walk that path believing, if you die, you'll have an afterlife, a second life, go to heaven, receive the kingdom. But it doesn't mean that everything on this planet, everything that you do here is going to be a piece of cake, that you're not going to be attacked, you're not going to have issues, and not going to have problems. And this quote is just absolutely perfect, because we are targets, because we're a threat. It's not the lost. The lost are not a concern. It's the saved that bring down Satan, that bring down his kingdom. Now it says that soon the God of Satan, the God of peace, will crush Satan under your feet. That was written in Romans 16:20, I believe. And that was written to Christians. And all those warnings about the devil being a roaring lion, seeking someone to devour, resist the devil, is all written down to Christians. And the reason it was there is because we are targets. And I saw that quote today. I took a screenshot of it, and I said, I'm going to read that tonight on the program, because that is just absolutely an awesome quote. And it just reminded me of the head demon technique, which is just about every single one that I've seen, the one I've done. You'll be able to go in and you can find out those God-given gifts that they were there by assignment to take out. And some of them are loaded with them, aren't they, Pastor?
Yes, these assignments are so common. And, of course, just the scripture you just quoted, 1 Peter 5:8, lays that out, where, as you said, the adversary, the devil, stalketh about, seeing whom he may devour, whom resists steadfast in the faith. And so those assignments, he's talking about, and he's putting assignments especially on Christians, because Christians are the threat. Once you become a born-again Christian, you're likely to share Jesus, you're likely to use your God-given gifts, and the enemy would like to take you out. By the way, Ralph, I do have the final number of deliverances done for 2019.
Interesting to hear.
And that number is 738, is ones we had blue cards on. And we actually did more than that. I do some in the office. I never actually get the paperwork done on them. In fact, I've done quite a few of those. So Plus, the ministers are out there doing ministry in their churches and all around them that are not recorded. So, in any case, that was somewhat of a dent on the enemy. Amen?
Amen. That's 700. So, was that 738? 738, correct?
Right. Correct.
That's 738 lives that were changed for the better. 738 lives that something that was hindering them and preventing them from being the Christian that they should be, the person they should be, the father, the mother, the son, the brother, the sister, the aunt, the uncle, grandmother, grandparent, whatever they are, that is 738 who no longer have the problems that they have and the demons affecting them. And you know, I'm going to do it right here real quick, as I'm not smart enough to do it by the top of my head, but if you take 738 times 36, that's 26,568 demons at the feet of Jesus. Now, that sounds like a legion of them, doesn't it?
Well, and also, Ralph, if the average person has about three dozen, you
yes.
could multiply that out.
Yeah, well, that's what that 36 is, three dozen there. And that's a lot of demons that are being swept out and cleaned from the vessels and sent to the feet of Jesus to do as he sees fit.
Yes. When I have a head demon
and
up...
that's probably a low number, too.
Well, I think it is. But when I have a head demon up, I'll often ask it in the interrogation, have you ever been cast out before? And most of them never have. All these centuries, they've been in people. When they die, they come out, they get reassigned. But they've never been challenged before, because there's millions of them out there, of course. And it just goes to show the job we all have before us.
Well, that's a question that you start asking on the next one I have. Have you ever been cast out in the past? Because I never thought to ask that. But that... Well, if it's generational, you know they haven't been cast out in quite some time, especially there in that family.
Yes. And I have one other thing I'd like to touch on, Ralph. The people calling in tonight, they've had their ministry sessions many years prior. And these two testimonies will be an indication of how it can change lives in the long run. And even the ministries that developed because of of having deliverance and learning about it. So it should be an interesting show this evening.
Yeah, it would be a rare person that's gone through deliverance and have not taken from what they had gotten in their session. Of course, there's a pretty good percentage of them that come back for the training, and the ones that don't, we have no idea if they go to the website and how much they use the book and how much they help. But you know, if the 736 people, if they go out and help one person or even two people, you know, that doubles, triples the amount of people that are helped. And then if that person goes around and that person goes around, that's a pretty good word of mouth advertising networking. We don't always know who we help, how that's going to help someone down the road, a day from now, or even years from now. We never know.
Yes.
Yeah. It could be generational. What we help could be generational. And we'll be long gone or gone on to receive our reward. And because that seed was planted to us, I look at the fact that somebody had to share that with your friend Lynn, who shared it with you 40-some years ago. And there's even a possible chance that whoever shared it with him or who he learned it from, they're not even alive anymore. And that's just the way the networking is helping. And we don't always see the things generationally, but we know we are helping them.
Yes, an awesome thought, isn't it?
It is an awesome thought, especially if you come against
generations.
Yeah, if you can come against some sort of spirit that's there generationally. I'm going to give you a case in point. I heard. I actually had a customer call me yesterday, and she informed me that the lady that owned the shop had passed away right before Christmas time. And, of course, I asked what happened, and she said it was an aortic aneurysm. And a year ago, her sister passed away in an aortic aneurysm, and their mother is still alive and probably would have had it, but they caught it, and she went and had surgery and had the little mesh thing put around it. And I was just thinking to myself, I wonder how long that spirit's been there in that family attacking that. And
yes.
Of course, she was just a co-worker and didn't know. That's just what she knew. But that's the thought that came to my mind, that that's definitely a generational curse, especially when
yes.
you have multiple people having the same issue, dying, or having the same problem. There's no ifs or buts about it. That is some sort of generational attack upon that family. Pastor, we have Cindy. Cindy, thank you for calling and joining us this evening.
Hello there. Okay.
Yes, hi, Cindy.
Hi
so
there,
glad
Everett.
You called in. Hi. Well,
yes.
Cindy, we've known each other a long time.
Yes.
I'm not sure how many years. 20 years plus, probably.
Mm.
But
yes, I think about 22 years.
Okay. Well, I'm excited to hear your testimony. It will edify the people listening. So why don't you go ahead and give some background, some history on yourself and when you were born again and how you learned about deliverance and then what experiences you'd like to share with you and
that's
gonna
be quite a story.
In your marriage.
Okay. Well, let's see. I've been a Christian since I was about 16, and let me think. I came to deliverance about 22 years ago. I had a crisis in my family, a devastating, devastating crisis, and I was broken into a million pieces, and I came to deliverance. I had been going to City Church, so I knew about deliverance. It was difficult to make it with my work schedule, but I came finally, and the Lord healed my broken, shattered, mashed up heart, and I was so intrigued with the idea that a Christian could be tormented by unforgiveness, other things that open doors for that sort of thing to happen, a legal right for it to happen. I'd never heard about such things. I'd been in church my whole life and did not know. So I began coming back. I came for prayer. Well, actually, I think I came three times and just listened to you teach before I worked up enough nerve to have somebody pray for me. But I kept coming back, and that turned into 15 years. And so, 15 years. Yep. So, now then, fast forward, let's see. You asked me a whole lot of questions. You might have to help me remember all this stuff. I've been in healthcare for 30 years. I retired this last year. And after being single for 32 years, I got married. And that was to a damaged Vietnam vet. And before we got married, I explained to David about deliverance and how God could heal past traumas and things that just twist your life up in a knot, where you have responses that are not maybe what you want to have, but there they are. And I told him that Jesus could set him free from that. And, of course, that was new information for him. But it wasn't long before he came. I've been several times, and it's made a huge difference. He over the last year and a half that I've known David, he's a new man in every way. And he has a very tender heart full of love and compassion. And I think he always did, but it was mashed down and covered up and, I don't know,
mm-hmm.
like the enemy does for all of us, covers it up where you can't feel it anymore, the good that God has put in you. And it surely does keep you from what he has for your life. and it's just better to be free.
Yes. Now, David was even nervous about going into stores, wasn't he?
Oh, my goodness gracious, yes. I did not realize, oh, that's right, he was. And now we go to the stores. He wants to go with me wherever I go, and just the most boring, mundane thing, and he doesn't get upset or anything. But in the beginning, it wasn't that way at all. No, it wasn't. But even today, we drug around through three stores looking for things, and he was ready to go to another one. I'm going, no more. No more today. So, yes, there's been a number of changes, but that's one for sure.
Well, it's probably accurate to say that your marriage would not be in very good shape had David not come for ministry.
No, it wouldn't, Everett.
Would you agree
and
with that?
It would not. But, you know, I knew what a difference that when we are read what the Bible says, you have to submit to God, then that means humility and humble, and resist the enemy with all your might. And see, the thing is, people don't know how to do that. How to resist? How do you do that? And then, and the other part of that, then he leaves you. Then he'll get away from you. So, one of the things that I personally have appreciated for so many years is how you have so faithfully taught that week after week after week for 35 years now. And it has made the biggest change of my life. If I had to name one thing that has changed my life for the better, other than being saved in the first place, that would be learning how to get free and stay free. And I've, you know, you pointed us to many sources to read and study, and you've incorporated a good many techniques over the years. As a matter of fact, this past Monday night, you changed up your door closing prayer again. It's a small change, but it's a really good one. And it's about four times longer now than when you first started, but it's really good. And I appreciate that. It made all the difference. It's not only made a difference in our marriage, absolutely. It would have, without that kind of freedom for both of us, there's no way it would have worked. But just on a personal level, every way imaginable. And then when you go out into a hurting world, most people you meet also need that kind of freedom. So it's also helped me to do that also, different places and people and times where I don't learn it when I get there. I learned it, you know, working in the trenches with you Monday night at Deliverance Ministry for all those years.
Yes. And Cindy, once you got into Deliverance, it wasn't long until you were going on various missionary trips. You might share a little about that, some of the countries you went to.
Okay. Yes, and of course, I didn't know until I got there what I would be needing. That's what I mean. I didn't actually learn anything when I got overseas. I learned it every Monday night, listening to your teaching and then just really duking it out in the trenches with praying with people and different things that God brings to you and learning and studying and learning. But what it helps you do, you can literally go anywhere. And with a crowd of people, the one that stands out the most in my memory was in a village in Africa, praying in a, I stopped in a kind of a jungly place, and in a clearing there was a young girl asked for prayer, and I didn't know that her father was the head witch doctor there. I didn't know that. I did notice that the pastor translator with me was extremely nervous and did not want to go. But I urged him. I said, "Well, I need a translator. Please come with me." But he was nervous, and I didn't understand that where I went was right straight to the witch doctor of the village, his house. It was his family. And so, I think sometimes it's a good thing we don't know what's ahead. But what happened was the same thing that happens on Monday night. And I only had 20 minutes because the bus was coming to pick me and a couple of others that were with me up. So I didn't have time for a lot of satanic shenanigans. I just simply didn't have time for it. And so something just rose up in me, and I learned the same techniques that I've learned on Monday night. And what happened is I prayed over this girl. And she was sick, and her baby, well, she went into a full-blown manifestation, her eyes all rolled back in her head. And what I'm knowing was that I don't have time for her to fall down on the ground and wallow around like that. I really didn't have the time. And so I just took authority over that she would not fall down. And I'm trying to get the translator to, help me say some words. And he just looked at me and says, "She can't talk to you. The demons have her." And I said, "I know that. Just say these words. Say what I'm saying." Anyway, her eyes cleared, and she was able to say, "I choose Jesus." And anyway, we went on to have a wonderful deliverance. And at the end of it, she didn't fall down. She's standing up. She's in her right mind. She's calm. She's praying a prayer of repentance and salvation and all that. And then her mother wanted prayer, her baby. And the witch doctor standing over across from me with his arms folded, and he wasn't a bit interested in anything. But when I opened my eyes, I was so intense in prayer while all this was going on, But so that is something I learned Monday night. You see, you don't learn that kind of stuff after, on the spur of the moment like that. I didn't learn any of that then. I learned it Monday night at Deliverance Ministry, week after week. That's where I learned it. And then she said, "Well, the demons come at night and jump up and down." They had a tin roof on the mud hut. And she says, "Is there anything you can do about that?" And I said, "Yes, ma'am, there is." I said, "Do you give me permission to go in your house?" I'm glancing over at this witch doctor standing there, He's not looking friendly, but his wife and his daughter gave me permission, and he's not interfering. He's just standing there, the interesting thing is there was just one of the team members brave enough to go with me. So I went over to the hut, and I had some anointing oil, and I turned to the person next to me, and I said, "Would you... hold your hands together so I can stand on your hands." He says, "What are you going to do?" And I said, "Well, I'm going to get up on the roof and put some anointing oil up there, and we're going to rebuke the enemy in Jesus' name." And this girl that is a new Christian, she is in agreement and has given us permission. We're going to make them stop tormenting them at night. So that's what we did. And that was pretty remarkable. It's the kind of thing you don't think out ahead of time, or you'd never have the nerve to do it.
Well, and it's
but God did a wonderful deliverance there with that village, and it was amazing to see what God will do if you're just willing to go and be His hands and His feet and know the power and authority that you have over the works of darkness. And you taught me that so many years ago, Luke 10:19. If I never remember another thing, I will remember that verse.
Yes, praise God. And Cindy, with the experience that you had before you went there, think of all the missionaries that have gone out into the field and have no training at all. How vulnerable they are. into Africa and all over the world. The seminaries apparently don't teach anything about deliverance from what I've heard. And so here they go, you know. Well, look at here you were. You were trained. You've been through boot camp and advanced training and experienced, and there you go in the field, and look what happened. Hallelujah.
Yes. Well, the interesting thing is, Everett, I was with other ministers, and at the time, I did not have, I wasn't an ordained minister at the time, but I was with people that were, and they didn't know anything about it, and they were afraid to go with me. Two or three of them were brave enough to do it anyway, because I was trying to teach them on the go about their authority as a child of God and believer, spirit-filled Christian. You can do these things.
Yes,
the Bible's very plain about it. He gives us a power over all of that stuff. It's not that the enemy doesn't have any power. It'd be crazy to say that. He does. But we have power over all the power of the enemy. That's the part that's important.
That's right. That's right. And physically,
Cindy's not a large person.
I'm just saying, Cindy, how tall are you? You're not very big.
No, I'm not, but you should see how big I am inside. No, I'm pretty dinky on the outside.
Yeah.
That's true.
That's it. You're physically, you're not big, but spiritually, you're huge.
Yes.
And that you have all power as you go forth, as you learn well. In past years. Gosh, that's so awesome.
But the thing is, I know that I am not anything special, anything out of the ordinary, none of that. The amazing, incredible thing is that God wants to use us to do His work here on earth. And I used to think one person really couldn't do that much good or that much. But it's not true at all. It isn't. All you have to do is be willing and be a believer. That's it. That's all you have. Those are the qualifications. It's like you teach every week. That is what you teach. And I found out that you were right.
Well, praise God. High adventure, isn't it? And how fulfilled were you
doing
in the middle of that?
In fact, it pretty much ruins you, wrecks you for boring religious activity. It just sort of ruins you, that when you see God's power, you're just driven to see more. You can't settle into a complacent, boring old routine religious activity. I can't.
Well, that's what happened to me 42 years ago. Once I
know, isn't that wonderful?
And that I was able to use it. Yeah, it puts you on a high
that
just doesn't go away. You're fired up, and you're going forward in Jesus. But you visited other countries, too, didn't you, quickly?
Yes. And the state, I did. And for deliverance, the thing is, I just pray in the Spirit, because I have taken part in crusades in China and India and Africa and in Haiti. But you have so many hundred, well, the teams that I go with are maybe 20, around 20 people or so of the ones that are actually praying. But there's thousands and thousands that come to these crusades. In fact, one I'll tell you about in Africa, I don't know how they can count 40,000 people, but I guess they section it off somehow and average it. I don't know how. All I know is that from a little rickety platform in the middle of the field, as far as I could see, and all the way around, it was people. So it was a lot.
Wow.
And what would happen, they would send us out in that mass of people after the evangelistic service to pray for
Cindy,
them.
We're out of time.
One-on-one.
We're out of time, Cindy. Out of time.
Uh-oh.
Thank you
so
much.
Okay, well, we'll have to tell
some
more stories later, because I sure do have a lot of them.
Yeah.
Well, thank you, Cindy. You'll have to come back on later and talk some more with us.
Okay.
Yes. Well,
all right. Well, it's all the glory is to God, all of it, every last bit of it. And any
Amen.
Child of God can do the same thing, any child of God.
Yes. God bless you, Cindy. Good night.
All righty. Bye-bye. Good night.
Talking to you about how big she is in Christ, but how small she is physically, made me think of how big David was when he went up against Goliath, because he was at that time in his life just a sheep herding kid. but he was bigger than Goliath and all the armies of Philistine at that time. But Pastor, we have Harold. Harold, thank you for joining us this evening.
Hello, can you hear me?
Yes. Hi, Harold.
Hey, how y'all
Harold,
doing tonight?
Thank you for calling. Oh, we're blessed.
Yeah, my pleasure. Thanks for having me on the program.
Yes, glad to have you. Well, Harold, go ahead and give some history on yourself. I know you've got an exciting testimony to share, but when you were born again also, and how you learned about deliverance, and then what changes you saw in your life after your deliverance, and then the experiences and where you are now in your ministry.
Okay, well, please monitor me because I really lose track of my time. Let me know when I'm done, okay?
Okay. Go ahead.
First of all, it's funny you mentioned David and Goliath, because for the last few weeks I've been drawn to watch the David and Goliath little video snips on YouTube. You know, that story really intrigues me. And that's just been recent.
Yeah.
And, you know, for years and years, I was just so controlled by the enemy. You know, most of us are if we don't know the Lord. And, talk about when I was baptized, and I'm asking Holy Spirit just to give me the words. And my baptism, I was born again January 13th, 2013, at exactly 1300 hours, which is kind of interesting, military time-wise, at the age of 60 mm-hmm. years old. I'd spent my whole life lost, but I didn't know I was lost. I thought I knew the Lord. You know, there were even a couple of times where I said that prayer in the shower, you know, and Lord come into my life. Problem was, I hadn't come with a fully repented heart, you know. And I think that's what's really necessary. Never heard of deliverance, never heard a word spoken in church. Had some Catholic church and some other church where the focus is really just keeping people happy and not letting them know how to get healed. You know, there's too many people that don't want to talk about the truth. Well, you know, my life was messed up, and I had a failed marriage. It was my second failed marriage. I had all the sins in the world that I'm not going to list, but an early exposure to pornography led me to that. And it was years later that the Lord showed me why all that was happening in my life. I mean, the idea of generational curses and things that you could inherit from your ancestors was something I'd never really heard of. But I'll tell you what, let me just go back to when my life was the worst, and that was when I was 60. I'm 67 now, and it's just so different. But, you know, I had been praying for the Lord just to kill me at my worst times for a year and a half. That was my daily prayer. But he didn't do that. There was a time when I was in the fetal position in my apartment on September 2nd, 2012, and I was just crying out to the Lord. I mean, I was just really pouring my heart out. Dear God, I can't take this anymore. I cannot do this. You have to come in. You have to take over my life, dear Lord. Please, would you do that? And, you know, I remember it like it was yesterday. It was like this bolt of lightning, a flash of light, and the Lord stepped in, and he broke off that spirit of death that was on me. It was immediate, you know. It was just gone. And he told me, I heard in my head, that So I needed to get down to this church down the road that I'd been looking at, and so I went. When I went, the pastor was preaching on Romans 8, you know, 8:8. What I heard was unconditional love. So my first experience of deliverance was when the Lord himself stepped in and broke that spirit of death. Then he led me to a pastor that I was supposed to be with. I encourage people to find somebody who knows the full gospel, you know, is aware about things like that. And I was led on this journey. I was on fire, you know. I went and bought a Bible. I had never really owned a Bible. He led me to one. And it was just awesome. I got water baptized. I went to see a deliverance minister, and it was actually before Everett. You know, and a few things broke off in addition, so things were getting cleaned up, and that was good. One day the Lord said, it was 4 years after that, he says, I think it's time for you to find a mate again. You know, I said, really? So that's a whole other story. But I went through some healing. The Lord led me to this beautiful woman who's just an amazing creation of the Lord. And we're so blessed. We have a ministry together right now. But there was still unfinished business. You know, I was on the computer around that same time as I was courting my new wife that he led me to. And there was this story about this exorcist in Oklahoma that was involved in checking out some things. There was at this church, I guess somebody was going in and they were taking these Bibles and messing them up. And wow, I said, what an interesting story. What is that? You know, who is this guy? You know, ever in the deliverance ministries, I felt compelled to contact him, and I did. And we had a little conversation, you know, email wise. Lo and behold, it was a few years later. On November 15th, 2016 is when I was there with Everett at his ministry, and my life had already begun to change dramatically for the better. But guess what? There were so many things that I still had that were issues. After our deliverance session, we counted about 75 demons that were cast out, and strongholds that I'd had were broken. Just like that. Pornography issues I had were gone, even though they were curtailed quite a bit through some activities of self-deliverance and things like that. I have to tell anybody who's listening that if you're considering deliverance and wondering if there's value to going to see a skilled minister, I will tell you right now, that's what you need to do. I don't care what it takes. Go find somebody who loves the Lord, is in this ministry, and understands that there's such a thing called demons. If the Lord gives you a gift like he gave to me, and the gift was to just to know that demons are real and that there are open doors in your life that are the roots of some of the issues that you have, go to somebody who understands these things. You know, go to someone who will preach to you about Luke 10:19. I've given you authority to trample on snakes and scorpions, and to overcome all the power of the enemy, and you will not be harmed. I never heard that before until actually I met Everett. And he's, of course, the warrior that he's been for all these years, and here he was preaching. He has a subtle way about him, and I'm talking about Everett and his manner, because, you know, with deliverance, you can watch all kinds of videos, and you can see all kinds of screaming and yelling. And I've come to understand that in deliverance, we're not talking about a power encounter between the Lord and Satan and his minions. There's no question about the fact that the Lord has more power. Like the devil is like a gnat, a flea, compared to the Lord's power. The blood of Jesus Christ, one drop of the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ could annihilate the kingdom of God, yet we're unaware, you know. Amen. Because ignorance is the biggest tool of the enemy. And so I came to understand, yeah, that it's not so much how much you yell and scream at the enemy, because that doesn't really affect him. It's about truth. It's not a power encounter. It's a truth encounter. So when you learn that you're a child of God, and when you appropriate the victory of the Lord Jesus Christ, and when you thank him for dying on the cross and being that bridge between us and the Lord God, you know, and saving our lives so we can have eternal life, when you come to understand the power you have as a Christian, you won't have issues like you had before deliverance. Now, what I mean by that is I came to understand that there are demons in our lives that we either let into our lives because of our own sins or because of the sins of our ancestors, you know, and lots of other areas. But all we have to do is make sure that we're confessing our sins to the Lord. All we have to do is be sure that we're forgiving everyone in our life. Everyone, because I used to think forgiveness was just something that an option, but the Lord's Prayer says, you know, I'll forgive you as you forgive others. It's a requirement. Unforgiveness is the biggest open door for the enemy. It just comes right in. So if we confess our sins to the Lord, if we forgive others, truly forgive them, including ourselves, because one of the biggest stumbling blocks I had was myself. I didn't forgive myself for some of the things I had done. Dear God, you know, things that so many of us do because we just don't know any better. Or sometimes we can't help it because there are these driving spirits, you know, that come in. And if you ever had a situation that you know you weren't supposed to be involved in, and you don't want to do this thing, and whether it's porn or some other kind of addiction or whatever, and you're just trying to, you just feel this compulsive desire to do it, and you lose the battle, you know, and then you do this thing you don't want to do. Well, very well could be a compulsive spirit, a driving spirit that was there. But when I was with Everett,
yes,
there were a lot of things that were driven out and gone. And when I look at the list of things that were wrong when I stepped into his ministry, and then I look at the things right now that are wrong, which are, I mean, I had 150 things that were wrong, and now I've got 12 or 14 that will probably still be with me. But, man, I'm telling you, deliverance, because of Jesus Christ and because of the power that we have, we can command these enemies to be gone, but we've got to cancel the rights that they have, you know, through forgiveness.
Yeah.
We have to renounce those ways and Satan, and we have to command those spirits to leave. You know, if we don't tell them to get out, they're going to stick around. All they're going to do is just freeload on you, and they're going to just stick around until you kick them out. And Everett wrote the best book I've ever seen on deliverance. And if you don't own it, I really recommend you go get it now. And you can find it on his website, which I believe is delmin.org. And I will tell you now that my life is so different. When I couldn't sleep, I never had nights. I couldn't sleep before. I was always, you know, having all kinds of issues and health issues and mental issues, you know, just depression constantly. And, of course, all these things I was doing I shouldn't be doing. My life's not like that now. Now, it doesn't mean I don't fall now and then. But, you know, if you fall, what happens is the enemy wants you to stay down and feel like you're guilty, you're no good. See, I told you that nothing worked. No. You have to get up and you say, look, I fell, but the Lord Jesus Christ, he is the one that I follow. He forgives me. You know, you give that sin up to the Lord. You get up and you continue your journey. You tell that devil, get out in Jesus' name, because he's not going to slow you down. Confess that sin again.
Amen.
And just keep on going. You know. So today, what's happened in my life? Can you hear me okay?
Yeah. Yeah, I hear you. Fine.
Share
the kind of ministry the Lord has led you into after those deliverances you had, how your life has changed ministry-wise.
All right. Ministry-wise, I felt compelled to spread the word. I started creating websites online to let people know about deliverance. I have one called deliverancenow.org. I have one called demonsdontrule.com. That one leads to a YouTube channel that I have where I've made some videos about deliverance. So my ministry has been online. I think the biggest thing has been I've discovered a gift of music that I've had with my wife and I. We have a music ministry now called Bible Belt Blues. Our website is BibleBeltBlues.org. You can visit that website because he's given a gift to my wife of lyrics, and she writes these lyrics that are biblically sound, and he's given me the gift of music and singing. I never really knew I could sing, but my wife encouraged me to sing. So now we have this music, and we've taken this music and we've gone out and won awards with it, and now this year we're being asked by churches and other organizations to come in and do these concerts because the music is focused on repentance, sin, salvation. The lyrics are clear and they're biblical, and they lead people to repentance, you know, even though the music is very interesting. So I've got this music ministry with my wife. It's called BibleBellBlues.org. We're just every day up and doing this, and I just love her so much. And I would never have had this opportunity. I would never have discovered this gift that I have and the gift that she has and known to pursue this ministry had I not pursued deliverance, had I not had help from somebody like Everett. So anybody out there, if you're thinking about deliverance and you're just not really sure, please, just do it. The enemy is trying to tell you that, no, it's not real. It's real. Get out there, go see somebody, work with somebody, pray, be sincere, get delivered, and get discovered, because there are things that you're supposed to do that you're not doing now because these demons, they're holding you back. So I guess that's my little piece there. God bless everybody, and I hope that came through okay, and sure I'm happy to have had the opportunity to speak.
Well, yeah, we have a few more minutes, Harold, and I think it's really exciting. I've listened to quite a bit of your music, and it's you got a real talent there, God-given, of course. You didn't even know you could sing.
No.
And here you are singing now. the Lord does that kind of thing, doesn't he? So
He does.
Yeah.
He does. And, I mean, if you really do, you go listen to that music, BibleBellBlues.org. We've got links to all. We published two albums, the latest one, My God, My God. Really, honestly, I never sang before. I mean, and the music, when we sit down to play music, I pray to the Lord God, Holy Spirit, give us the music. He gives us the music. Boom, it's recorded. And the biggest challenge I have is going back to play it consciously because it was created in the state when we were in prayer with the Holy Spirit. So most of that music you hear was done, you know, with prayer, and I couldn't really myself sit down and try to figure out this music or even compose it because he was using my fingers, he was moving everything, and that's, you're right, it's a gift, and I would not have discovered that had I not had deliverance. Is that fair enough, Everett?
Yes. Well, that's what you call supernatural, Harold. That's for sure. And just think how many people you're touching and will touch in the coming years. It will go nowhere but up. Amen.
Yeah. Well, one last thing is talk about supernatural. This is a Bible Bell Blues. We're sitting. I was playing this music in front of the microphone and asking the Lord what I was supposed to sing. How was I supposed to sing this song? And it actually came out like the voice of this fellow, Skip James, who is a blues player, a famous blues player, with my falsetto voice, which I really didn't know that I had. And so, wow, when we were done with that, my wife and I looked at each other and we just, wow, what happened? It's supernatural, Everett. It's definitely supernatural. Praise God.
Praise God. Well, thank you, Harold, so much for sharing all that. Wow, what a history from your deliverance. And when one, these demons, as you mentioned, are blocking one's God-given gifts, and until you get these demons gone, it's just going to continue the rest of your life until you get them out. And so the body of Christ is very vulnerable and is under this bondage of the spirits. It's worldwide, and Christians again are the target. So it behooves Christians to learn who they are in Jesus and then start applying that power and setting people free, including themselves. Well, Harold, thank you so much, brother. It was a great testimony. Blessings to you and your wife down there. And it's in Mississippi, right?
In Mississippi. We're Gulfport, Mississippi. God bless you. Again, BibleBeltBlues.org. And I had already emailed Everett before, you know. Had I not gone through that deliverance, there would be no music. And I'm just so grateful for what I have. So, again, Everett, thank you for what you do. Thank you, Lord Jesus. And keep up the good fight.
Thank you, Harold. God bless you, brother.
Yes, Harold. Thank you
Bye-bye.
Very much. Powerful testimony.
All right, y'all. God bless. Bye-bye.
Powerful, powerful. That's just
wow.
Talking about being at that point
glory.
In life. You know, when you're praying for Lord to kill you, that's not the Holy Spirit directing you in that direction. That's obviously.
But the Lord even stepped in.
Even stepped in and saved him, delivered him. Seeing that flash of light, wow, that's just, I love hearing testimonies like that. And I've heard a lot of testimonies where people have been to that point in their life, that spirit of death that came on them, and in the transformation, it's just, wow, the lives he's helped and getting absolutely perfect with what I talked about with that quote, that, the devil doesn't attack an empty home, he attacks that's a full home, and if there wasn't something valuable inside, he wouldn't be taking you on. And I'm positive their assignments were to keep him from the singing. Singing is a wonderful, wonderful tool of deliverance. It's a wonderful tool of fellowship. It's commanded to sing praises all through Scripture, and it's just with the website like that, there's no telling how many people he's helped. Here we are back to that original number, 738. How many people that those people are going to help that we don't know about? And from you helping Harold, and Harold having that website, and there's no telling how many people from there that he's touched and who they'll touch and so on and so on. So it's just fantastic testimonies on both parts. What a great way to start off the new year, the new calendar year. And
amen.
Awesome. And again, that's deliveranceusa.com if you want to get to the website. Or if you do need that book, which was plugged by Brother Harold, you can call Richard at the office at 307-742-7582. Let him know you need that book. I think we asked a $20 offering for it, and he'll get it out to you. But fantastic testimonies this evening. Pastor, as always, good to be with you. We invite you all back next week to join us. God bless, and have a good evening.
God bless everyone.
Chapter 10, verse 19.
I have given you authority to trample on snakes and scorpions,
ooh, and to overcome, ooh, all the power of the enemy,
ooh, to overcome. To trample on snakes and scorpions,
and to overcome,
ooh,
all the power of the enemy.
You are listening to the Scriptures for America Worldwide Broadcasting Network with Pastor Peter J. Peters, made possible by the tithes and offerings of the faithful. If you would like to be one of those who help to get needed truths out to others, send your support to Scriptures for America, P.O. Box 766, La Porte, Colorado, 80535. That's Scriptures for America, P.O. Box 766, La Porte, Colorado, 80535, and pay a visit to our website, www.scripturesforamerica.org. That's scripturesforamerica.org. At our website, we broadcast 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. And remember, too, the live evening broadcast at our website with Pastor Peter Peters, Monday through Friday, 9 p.m. to 10 p.m. Eastern, 8 to 9 Central, 7 to 8 Mountain, and 6 to 7 Pacific. That program is live, controversial with guests and call-ins and taboo subjects not acceptable in mainstream media. That's at www.scripturesforamerica.org. Should you go there on Sunday mornings, 10:30 a.m. Mountain Time, you'll see and hear Pastor Peter's Sunday morning church service. And when you write, why not ask for a free copy of the Scriptures for America Dragon Slayer Newsletter Magazine? Again, our address is Scriptures for America, P.O. Box 766, LaPorte, Colorado, 80535. And now, back to our program.